This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Monday afternoon, March 24th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. References are important in a job search, but an advocate can provide an even bigger boost. We'll explain how in our next segment. Right now, a report on factory activity is out today, while the week ahead will feature data on new home sales, consumer confidence, and consumer spending. We welcome in Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Gus, thank you for joining us today. A big week in data, starting off with some numbers that I think a lot of people will be eyeing nervously, and that is that report on consumer confidence. A lot of indications that consumer confidence has been wobbling lately.
That's right. We have seen consumer confidence move lower over the past couple of months. Consumers are concerned about the impacts of tariffs, whether they're going to result in higher prices. They're concerned about the potential for federal government job layoffs and whether that's a drag on consumer spending. So we have seen a big drop in consumer confidence over the past couple of months. That being said, I think at some point it's going to stabilize just at a lower level.
And interesting that we'll have this discussion later on in the program about how you can improve your curb appeal if you are selling an existing home this year. But we do have the report on new home sales tomorrow. Once again, the housing market, very interest rate sensitive, both when it comes to construction and selling and buying. What can we expect for the report on new home sales?
Yeah, I'd expect to see a modest increase in new home sales for February. Inventories for existing homes remain very tight. And so for many buyers who are looking, they just can't find an existing home. So they may be turning to new construction. I think we will see a gradual improvement in home building, in new home sales over the course of 2025 as mortgage rates come down a little bit and as builders start to pick up the activity.
And of course, tariffs have been the big question mark since January 20th, and that will definitely play a role in the report on durable goods coming out on Wednesday.
That's right. I mean, for many businesses, they're uncertain about what the outlook is with tariffs. They are buying ahead of tariffs, and so they're importing a lot. We may be seeing some businesses buying more from U.S.-based manufacturers because they're concerned about tariffs. I think, we're likely to see the numbers for durable goods moving up and down a lot in the near term until we get more clarity on the tariff outlook and businesses have a better sense of what actually is going on there.
And then Friday, we have reports on income and spending, and of course, the PCE, which is the Fed's preferred inflation gauge. We have consumer price index. That number is out. The producer price index is out. And you can do some back-of-the-napkin math using both of those figures to get a good idea of where the PCE is going to land.
Yeah, I think we'll see a little bit slower inflation in February than what we saw in January. That's certainly what we got with the CPI and with the PPI. I think on a year-over-year basis, not much change. Inflation has slowed dramatically over the past couple of years, but it's still higher than the Federal Reserve would like. And I think until we see a little more progress on inflation, the Fed is going to be reluctant to cut rates again.
Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, how an advocate can propel your job search.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Solid references are key when job hunting, but there's a way to step that up. Let's learn about the role of an advocate from Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm To Discern in Chicago. Rick, thank you for joining us today. And not too long ago, I was having a discussion with a business owner who said that the proliferation of sites like Indeed and LinkedIn make it nearly impossible to hire somebody, simply because when you put out a job listing on a job board, you will get thousands of responses. And sifting through those thousands of responses is a nearly impossible task. And that is where the advocate comes in.
Sure. Well, you know, if you want to make something that was complicated more difficult, make it bigger. And that's pretty much what we've done with the job market. But to your point, the Maven, which in the Tipping Point by Gladwell, he identified as one of the three critical ways of things growing. That's that person you go to who you know is an expert. Is it somebody who knows a lot about how to pick March Madness brackets, or they know the best wine to drink with a certain food? There's somebody that you have a lot of confidence in terms of their expertise. So it's great to have an advocate, but you want to make sure that the advocate is considered a maven by the person that they would be reaching out to. To somebody that's a good buddy of yours who you went to college with or in the same fraternities with isn't necessarily the best advocate. You want someone who's got experience or understanding of what you've done successfully at work and why that would be great for the person they're going to call.
Now, how does an advocate differ from an agent or maybe a recruiter or, as you mentioned, your friend on the inside?
Yeah. Well, the recruiters, search firms and recruiting functions, they get paid to find people, and that's their job. So it's like a real estate agent. They're not that interested in you getting the best deal on the house. They want you to sell the house, and they'll drive you to lower the price in order to get it sold. And real estate and search are somewhat similar. The maven, the person who speaks on your behalf, is someone who already has a reputation of their own. They have credibility in terms of the role that they hold. And hopefully they have some sort of connection to the person they're going to reach out to. Having someone who's a complete stranger or even basically maybe even a competitor of yours call you up and say, hey, you should hire Betty, she's awesome, that's not going to work. So you really want someone who's got a connection already and is considered to be good in the industry and doesn't necessarily have any thing to gain by it other than helping a friend.
It also seems like if you're trying to find the advocate or the maven, that maybe this is a situation that you're going to have to network your way into the maven's orbit, that it could be a friend of a friend of a friend who would introduce you to this key decision maker.
Yeah, you know, jobs are 80% of jobs obtained are 3 degrees out on the 6 degrees of separation. So 3 degrees before you get to Kevin Bacon, you build a circle that's big enough that you can use your name to someone to say, hey, I was speaking with so-and-so the other day. He says good things about you. And you're reaching out to someone who doesn't really know you, but the circle is so much bigger. And the other thing about using names and references, I'm an advocate of if you have somebody that will really go to bat for you, that's fine. But in general, I would much rather be able to use your name, have permission to say, hey, Ron, if I run into somebody, is it okay if I use your name? You say yes. And then I just go after your network and knowing that you don't have to do anything. And I now have control over the search as opposed to you and your friend talking about, you know, your last golf game. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, this guy's good.
Once again, Rick, the more we have these conversations about how you can find a job, if you were looking right now, you should probably approach it in the way a TV detective would solve a mystery, because I think that's what this really sounds like. So maybe you should just put on your rumpled trench coat and pretend you're Columbo, and eventually you will get your man and get your job.
You're showing your age. You're my age, apparently, if you got Columbo. A lot of people that are listening don't even know who Columbo is.
He's Peter Falk. What are we teaching kids in school these days, Rick? They should know who their TV detectives are. There should be a whole class on Kojak. Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm To Discern, based in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, United Airlines takes action to control overcrowding at its airport lounges.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Chicago-based United Airlines upping the fee for access to its airport lounges. Let's see what's driving the strategy. We're joined by Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University. Joe, thank you for joining us today. Now, when I have an image in my head, Joe, of the typical airport lounge creature, I am thinking of the road warrior, the person who is in the airport security line at O'Hare on a Monday. They have the rollerboard backpack there, and then they're back at O'Hare on Friday, and they just roll up thousands of miles per week as part of their job. And as a result, they have lounge access in Terminal 1. But since COVID, the road warrior is now the Zoom person. So who is crowding all of these airport lounges?
Yeah, great point, because that captures United and the other airlines' dilemma here. We have more international travelers who are often on leisure. They spend a lot of time in that lounge. Things are getting crowded. And that's alienated some of the, you know, the premier flyers you mentioned that pay top dollar for business trips who are more valuable than ever, you might say, because there's not as many. So these new rules really tighten things up on, you know, passing your passes to your friends if you can't go, or family, how long you can stay. And it's a different era out there now.
And it seems like United may be playing catch-up, because didn't we have this problem? I'm not saying you and I, but the industry in general had this problem with Delta lounges in New York and Washington and Boston becoming overcrowded several years ago.
Oh, that's right. Delta with the Sky Club, they were the first to kind of really clamp down here. And so what we're seeing is, if you are a heavy hitter, paying lots of money, earning lots of miles, there's a new kind of all-pass access you can buy. It's expensive. But if you really study things, you get rideshare credits, hotel credits, extra perks. It's still a good deal, maybe as good a deal as before. But if you're kind of the casual traveler that buys, you know, what they call the gateway pass, you know, instead of $99, that's now $150. There's the three-hour limit, and they're trying, I think, to make it a little more exclusive. And it's you really got to study the options, because it's you need a scorecard to keep track.
But apparently, the airport lounge is a popular perk, because not only do the airlines, if they have a hub, you know, they do. You know, United has a lounge, Admirals Club American, they have a lounge at O'Hare. Credit cards now have lounge presence at airports. There's, you know, Capital One. If you are a Chase customer, they're building out lounges at certain airports. So clearly, this is popular. It's worth the expense.
Oh, that's right. And these changes there, mostly with the Chase accounts, which keeps the kind of the primary United club access. And that's exactly right, that there's a lot of different ways to access lounges now. And that's going to get a little tighter. If you just get the right credit card, but you're not a United flyer, it's going to be more restrictive. And we're finding that people often get credit cards for the sole purpose of the main purpose of the lounge access, and the airlines aren't necessarily getting the revenue from flying. So I think that's going to be a little less lucrative, but boy, the frequent flyer who pays top dollar and doesn't need to transfer those passes, the perks are as good as ever, but that's a small minority.
Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University, thank you for joining us today. Still ahead, inexpensive ways to raise your home's curb appeal, plus suggestions for our Monday stock picker.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Almased.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A suspect is charged in last week's murder of a teenage girl on Chicago's West Side. Former members of the military speak out against federal budget and job cuts. Curb appeal can be key to selling a home. We'll discuss some cost-effective ways to improve it. It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll touch base with an investing pro. WBBM Business. The markets are higher. The Dow is up 467 points, NASDAQ up 353, and the S&P 500 is up 87. We have 37 degrees right now in Chicago under partly sunny skies, going to around 50 today. It's 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. Military veterans are taking center stage in the pushback against the slashing of the federal workforce. The story from correspondent Sagar Magani.
Vets make up roughly 30% of the federal workforce. An AP vote cast shows nearly 6 in 10 vets voted for Trump last year. Yet some veterans have been angrily confronting GOP lawmakers who defend the administration's cuts. In North Carolina, vet Jake Harry railed against Republican Chuck Edwards, saying things like layoffs at the VA are directly impacting fellow vets.
Care is already difficult. It's going to get more difficult to the point where people may not even be able to get care.
VA Secretary Doug Collins says health care and benefits will not be slashed. Still, Democrats who are desperately searching for a unifying topic have seized on the issue of protecting veterans. Democrats in both chambers have introduced bills that would shield veterans from mass layoffs. Sagar Magani, Washington.
A 15-year-old boy is charged in the deadly attack on 16-year-old Kayla Aaliyah Love, whose body was found in Horan Park on the city's west side 1 week ago. The Cook County Medical Examiner's Office ruled the Manly High School junior died from multiple injuries suffered in an assault. The suspect, who's not being named because he's a minor, is due in juvenile court today. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are higher today, all up by 1%, with the exception of the NASDAQ, which is up by 2%. We welcome in Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services. Find him online at horizoninvestment.com, based in Hammond, Indiana. Chuck, thank you for joining us today. And how much of today's rally is just the markets bouncing off of the announcement in the Wall Street Journal that the tariffs from the Trump administration, if they are implemented come April 2nd, will be narrower in scope than initially forecast?
Well, I'm always a little afraid to attribute a market move to a single event or a single data point. My guess is today's is pretty much tagged to that. Obviously, tariffs have been in the news, been on investors' minds, been a major concern for investors, and at least the whiff of the perhaps they're not going to be as bad as Wall Street expects, I think, is what's driven the market higher today. It'll be interesting to see, later this week, particularly tomorrow, Wednesday, if there's follow through on this, or if the tariff uncertainties come back into play. I mean, we've got April 2nd looming, and so I think you're going to see kind of this volatility around tariffs continue. But, nothing else today is a good day for the market based on, perhaps our tariff fears have been overstated.
Between Friday and today, is it safe to say this could also be a technical rally, that the markets were oversold during the sell-off a couple of weeks ago?
Well, it's not unusual for markets to have a bit of a bounce after the pounding that they took. And while the decline, say, in the Dow Jones Industrial Average or the S&P 500 wasn't necessarily something that's out of the realm of what often happens, it was the speed with which that decline occurred that I think shook investors. So yes, there's probably kind of a technical bounce back. Again, you get those after markets tend to kind of close below previous significant lows. And again, will that rally continue? That remains to be seen. And quite frankly, I'm a little dubious that we're going to see the rally continue. We had a bear market signal under the Dow theory. So it's not unusual for to get these rallies after bear market signals. But I don't think we're out of the woods yet.
Yeah, I guess under the, if you want to call this under the theory of water finds its own depth, there may be technical reasons driving this particular rally, but sooner or later, the narrative takes over.
It does. And you know, that's been, you know, my biggest concern about this is that, yeah, this all seems to be, at least Wall Street, and a lot of the analysts feel that, you know, the decline was all tariff-related. And so if the tariff issue gets resolved, it's onward and upward. I hope that's what happens. I'm a little dubious of that, and I think there's probably more here under the hood that's problematic for the market. And the reason I say that is the significant sell-off we saw in the Dow Jones Transportation Average, which was down almost 20% from its peak, and that is an excellent indicator historically for future economic activity. So, you know, without the transports really finding a bottom and starting to mount a sustained improvement, I'm a little dubious on any rallies here.
Chuck Carlson, we will join. We'll talk again in about 20 minutes during the Stock Picker Monday segment. So stay by the phone. Chuck, thank you for joining us today. And we'll talk to you in two segments from now.
It's 20 minutes of financial planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The first impression a prospective buyer gets when looking at a house can make or break a sale. Let's discuss curb appeal and fairly easy ways to improve it with Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago. Drew, thank you for joining us today. And this is that time of year. We're starting to see some houses come on the market. There was a house across the street from me. They had an open house over the weekend. And yes, the exterior was spruced up to give it some additional curb appeal. So, Drew, this is a case where maybe some small investments in landscaping or painting could have a big payoff down the line.
Yeah, that's definitely the truth. I mean, you know, I've always tell people that you can't make a second first impression. So good curb appeal definitely creates that inviting and you know, well-maintained exterior. It just makes people feel better about the home.
And then what are some things you can do if you're preparing to list your home and you know that the open houses are beginning? What are some things that you can do, maybe low-cost ways to boost that curb appeal?
For sure, Rob. The main thing is, you know, keep your lawn cared for, you know, get rid of the weeds, make sure it's mowed nicely, the, you know, edges are trimmed, there's no weeds. It really gives a nice little look to it. Certainly adding some color to the house by putting some flower pots out there and some plants, you know, the welcome mats, the nice signage and things. And then really fixing the little things, you know, the gutter that is maybe hanging, make sure that's not doing that anymore, or, you know, broken window panes. You know, the landscaping is not full of weeds and things. It's really those little things, but you don't have to invest a lot of money on it.
And how much of this is just basically, you know, just basic homeowner stuff? You have pride in the appearance of in your home, and irrespective of you moving away, you just want to have the front of your home looking nice for whoever comes over. And how much of this may be suggested by the listing agent?
Well, I think a good listing agent is going to really tell you if they pull up into your driveway and your driveway is all cracked and, you know, your gutters are hanging down. And, you know, if they notice those things, they certainly should say something to you to say, look, if you repair these couple things and if you add a couple, you know, colorful plants and such, that will really add an aid in the selling of this home. So it really is. It's the little things. And I think it just shows what the inside of the house is going to look for as they get prepared to, you know, walk into it.
In your experience, curb appeal, how does that reduce the time that your house is on the market? And what type of impact does it have on the eventual selling price?
I think it has a big impact on both. I think that it does definitely make it quicker because, you know, when you've got a lot of situations where there's not a lot of inventory out there and people are going around and they're looking at different houses, you want yours to stand out. You want yours to be something that people see and they're going to jump on right away. And it does give the comfortability and allows you to get maybe, you know, top dollar for it because it tells a message. It tells a story. You know, my house is in better condition than yours across the street.
And then when it comes to sprucing up the exterior of your home, when you list the house, you have a professional photographer come in and take a picture of the interior of the home, and everything is arranged just so. Would that exterior sprucing up be a part of the that photography process, that you jazz up the exterior of the home when the photographer is there to take a picture of the whole property?
Absolutely. I would absolutely recommend that. You have a photographer taking the picture of the house as they pull up, or a nice front shot of it will give people a nice warming feeling as they're walking into what then they will see after that would be what would look like a staged home. You know, the backyard is good shape. The deck is taken care of. It's not peeling paint all over things. I mean, that just you give it a whole story. Tell the whole story. Don't just tell the story about the inside. Tell the story about the entire picture.
Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday, and still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday, and once again, we welcome Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services. Find him online, horizoninvestment.com, based in Hammond. Chuck, thank you once again for joining us today. I feel like we talked just 20 minutes ago, Chuck. You have two selections today, and one is, chances are, it's in your pocket. It's certainly in mine.
That's right. That's Visa. The symbol is V. The stock trades for about $343 a share. And, you know, Visa is kind of one of those all-weather type stocks. I mean, the company has a significant competitive advantage and a big moat around its business. And that shows in its continuing growth aspects. I mean, it's going to have record profits and sales this year and next. The stock is never cheap, but if you wait till it becomes, quote, cheap, you're probably never going to buy it. And it's a type of stock in kind of a market of uncertainty that, you know, it's that steady Eddie play that over the long term it should do quite well for you. So that's Visa, the symbol V, trades for about $343 a share.
And your next selection is a public utility that serves downstate Illinois.
That's right. It's Ameren. The symbol is AEE. Trades for $99 a share. As you mentioned, it serves downstate Illinois as well as in Missouri. The utility sector has actually been a pretty good sector this year. It's one that's been up as a group pretty nicely. It's probably been leading the market, quite frankly. And I think that's because utilities have gotten kind of a growth glow to them in a sense that, you know, with the electrification of the country and along with, you know, the growth of data centers and AI, and those are all power hogs, utilities have really gotten a lift. Ameren has done well this year. I think it's a stock that continue to do well. It's one of the better growers within the utility sector. They should have strong profit growth this year and next. And you get a dividend yield of about 2.9%. So it's a nice growth and income combo play. That's Ameren. Symbols AEE, trades for $99 a share. And in disclosure, our clients as well as our firm owns both of these stocks.
And then, Chuck, just picking up some unfinished business from the stock market segment at 12:31. We talked about how the Dow theory is still flashing the bearish signal. And what are some of the numbers that we should be keeping an eye out going forward?
Well, you know, the recent lows that we had prior to this rally are, you know, potentially pretty significant. I kind of think we haven't set the numbers yet because I don't believe we've set the significant low point. Yes, we've had this rally, but I think, unfortunately, this is going to be fairly short-term oriented. And then we'll establish lows that will become the kind of the lows that we'll key off of if the trend is going to change back from bearish to bullish. So it's a little soon. I mean, the Dow theory just turned bearish on March 10th. So, you know, these things, unfortunately, don't get wrapped up in a matter of weeks. And we'll just kind of have to see how this plays out. But I think the market's still kind of in the process of trying to establish the significant lows here that we'll use to kind of key off of to determine whether the trend is going to change or not.
Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services. Find him online at horizoninvestment.com, based in Hammond, Indiana. His selections on this Stock Picker Monday: Visa, V, it's everywhere you want to be, and Ameren, AEE.